We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Well, my friend, you went on a cruise. I hear it wasn't what you expected.
Well, I decided I'm not a cruise person. Some people would love that. For me, the only thing that made it worthwhile was all the live music, the great bands that were on there. It was a music-oriented cruise with Lynyrd Skynyrd and a bunch of great bands. But if it wasn't for that, I'd have been bored out of my skull. I'd have been in the freaking cafeteria eating 90% of the time. No, I probably won't be doing a cruise again, unless it's a music cruise. There's another one that I heard about on that cruise that sounds really interesting.
Well, you can also go on those cruises that are, I don't particularly like the idea of them either. I know we're going to go on one someday with the kids, maybe a Disney cruise or something. But the idea of these, the ones that have, like, they're huge. They got theaters on board. You can go and watch the latest movies. You can play. You've got pools. They've got climbing walls. They've got slides. Yeah, it seems kind of fun.
Well, mine had a climbing wall that was never open. Mine had a pool that was covered by the stage for the outdoor concerts.
You want to go to one of those again?
No. Yeah, I did go to the spa, which was kind of awesome. But you know, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's really one of those things. If you want to go do stuff, cruise is not your thing. If you want to go and relax and do nothing, a cruise is probably the perfect trip for you.
Mm-hmm. How was the food?
Food was pretty awesome. They had like the cafeteria thing that was open 24/7, and then they had a bunch of restaurants, different stuff, like an Asian restaurant and a steakhouse, and the food was really, really good. In the restaurants, the cafeteria was cafeteria food. So,
and Lynyrd Skynyrd was awesome, of course.
And Lynyrd Skynyrd was awesome. Everybody's wandering around the boats. I actually took a cymbal in my suitcase and got Lynyrd Skynyrd's drummer to sign it for my son, who's also another drummer. So that was pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. And then just ran into the bass player walking down the hall, chatted with him for a few minutes. I didn't realize he was one of the founding members of the Counting Crows, which was kind of cool. Yeah.
Rubbing elbows, nice.
Yeah. It was fun from that perspective. I enjoyed it. I was in my element from the music standpoint, for sure.
I'm sure many would be envious. Sure, it sounded like a good trip that way. Well, you know, let's get things kicked off here with a few questions we got from our Google Plus page. The first one comes from Scott Angarola. I apologize if I butchered that. Here's what he asked. He says, "I run an events company in New York City. When optimizing content, for example, a wine tasting event, I want to optimize for the keyword phrase, wine tasting NYC. Should I include the exact keyword phrase, wine tasting NYC, together in the content, or is it enough just to have the three words in the text somewhere, but not necessarily together? I'm not sure if this explains this correctly, but basically I'm looking for some feedback on exact match versus broad match.
I love the way you put that, exact match versus broad match. That's a great, great way to ask that question.
Yeah. So what do you think, John?
Well, I think this is something in our industry that is, in my mind, kind of in flux, where a couple years ago you would want that exact phrase. You'd want wine tasting NYC in your title, in your description, in your body content. You'd want it on your page in a number of places. You still want it in your title if that's specifically what you're targeting. But I think nowadays the idea of targeting a very specific key phrase is going away. I think it's more about talking about topics, keeping a page focused on a topic, and using semantic language. Sure, it's going to be good if you want to rank for that specific phrase. You're going to need that specific phrase somewhere in the copy. But we have to remember that, you know, while that one particular phrase might drive tons of volume, it may not be the best converting phrase, and there may be dozens and dozens of other ways people are searching for the same thing with variations on that phrase, which is your broad match question. So I think personally, I'm leaning more towards moving away from exact match keywords on a landing page to broad match, which I love the way you asked that question, because that helped for people who don't understand the difference between exact match and broad match. In the PPC world, exact match is you want your PPC ad to show up for that exact phrase, wire tasting NYC. Broad match is basically those terms are in the search. So any one of those three terms can be in the search phrase and you will still show up. So it's much broader exposure for your ad.
And for those who are wondering what PPC is, that's paid advertising or pay-per-click advertising. I agree. I actually think that for once I was kind of wondering how you're going to tackle that. I kind of predicted you to say, no, you never need exact match. But no, I'm glad you didn't, because that's what I think. I think that I still include the exact match version. I just won't do it more than once, maybe twice in a longer article. And then I try and use synonyms and other, you know, semantically related terms to the target. And that seems to work. Again, it is in flux. If you find that that's not working, or you've only moved up a few paces, there's no harm in trying to add another one, as long as you're not messing with the legibility of the content.
Readability.
Thank you. Readability, that's better.
And remember, this is being impacted a lot by the recent update, Hummingbird, right? The Hummingbird update. Because one of the tests that was shown after Hummingbird is that semantic language is having a much bigger impact in search results. Like it used to be, if you had a couple of phrases that were very similar, meant the same thing, like putting recipe and putting dish, which are very similar, they used to have completely different search results for those two phrases because they were different. Now the search results for those two phrases are much, much similar. The listings that show up for those two phrases are very similar when before they were completely different. So that shows us that semantics is playing a much bigger part in how the results are being calculated, if that makes sense.
Yeah, great. The next, I hope that answers your question, Scott. If not, please do a follow-up. We're happy to bring it up again. The next question is from Kani Ayubu. Again, hope I got that right.
I think you did good on that one.
Thank you. It's my native tongue. whatever. Is that an African? I don't even know. Ethiopian? I'm not sure. Anyways, again, I apologize. I'm just generally an ass. That just helps. Okay, so one more question. I've had a Google Plus page for a while now, and that's assuming, of course, he had another question, with a couple hundred members, but all of a sudden, Google Plus has given me another business page, which I'm assuming is my Google Plus local page for my business. Why? Is there a way to merge the two? I don't see a reason, nor do I really want to maintain both pages. Or is this just a necessary evil? And he's actually touched on something that annoys the hell out of me, too. I've got two of them myself for Stepforth, and both of them have followers. Of course, one of them is the only one I can possibly keep up.
Were they both set up as businesses? Because I was, my initial thought when I read this question was, well, maybe one was set up as a profile, and Google said, well, there's no business page for this business, and then Google automatically set up the business page. So there's a profile page and a business page for the same entity.
No, they're both business pages. And it, part of the reason why the other one ever appeared was because we did the local, and Google immediately decided we needed another a Google Plus profile. Business profile or business page. I guess is technically the term. I think that's how it worked. I get confused because, frankly, it's been so many twists and turns since they've enabled all the system and the integration of local. Oh, it just
And they're still not letting you merge them, because I know they were working on that a while back, and I haven't heard anything recently about whether that's actually happened or not. But have you checked recently to see if you can merge?
No, I haven't. Likewise, I get tired of waiting and just move on.
I would double check into that because I know they were working on a fix. If you can't find anything, I bet you Mike Blumenthal has something on Blumenthal's.com talking about it, because it annoys him too, and he was pestering the heck out of him. So what I think he could do, he needs to make sure he keeps both of his pages. And if he hasn't claimed the one they just created for him, he should go ahead and claim that. And then pick one of them, work with it. And on the other one, there's something new that came out today that I think he should do that I know you're excited to talk about, Ross. So on your other page, you should, Ross.
Pin
it. pin a post saying, hey, you know, this is not the right page, and point a link to the page you want to manage and do all your activity on. But go ahead, let's talk about this pin. This is something new, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, it is. As of today, as far as I know, it's as of today anyways, that's when I read it. Google Plus is now allowing you to pin a particular piece of content to the top of your stream. This is really, really helpful. There's been many times I've wanted to take something particularly interesting and keep it at the top of my stream. It could be big news. It could be particularly interesting events coming up. It could be anything, really. But the point is, if you had posted anything after that, it would have pushed it down the page and into obscurity. You'd have to repost it again to have it appear at the top. Well, now you can pin it so it goes to the top of the page. This is very common in all the other social platforms with any kind of a stream, but Google Plus took a little while to get it going, and it finally is here. So,
can you pin it on top of Facebook?
That is a good question.
I don't know
if you can. On a page, I think you can, can't you?
On a page? Yeah, on a page you can. Maybe just not on a profile. But yeah, I think it's a great addition, and I hope that helps, at least since we can't merge them yet, Connie, at least this will give you something to do to help direct your users to the right place.
Definitely. Well, you know, it might be a little early, but let's take a quick break, because when we come back, we've got a lot to cover here on some interesting legal issues with Google.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So this is really quite interesting. Someone, I'm assuming they're in Europe. But that's probably not a good thing to do. It was in the UK.
Yeah, Europe's got their panties in a bunch over Google. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they really do. But you know what? In a way, it's good. I think we're a little too free with them around here. So it's good that someone's holding them to the fire occasionally. However, this could have some real negative effects if it's taken the wrong way. But essentially, Google has settled a defamation suit, agreeing to remove malicious links to a particular person who felt that they're being defamed. Now, this is really a landmark because Google's always said, free speech, you have to take it up with these people. We're just a directory. You know, we're just a listing here. This is not something we control. It's just how it is. So, and the fact that they were able to have it removed is massive.
So pretend I didn't read the article. Just because I didn't. So when they're talking about what did they have removed, was it links pointing to content, or was it the content itself? Was it more like fixing a Google bomb issue? What exactly was removed?
Yeah, let me just look at it here if I can find the note again. The detail on exactly what it was wasn't really mentioned, ironically. Here's the details. It was a separate URL. That's why I never saw it. But essentially, a man had said that someone had been talking about it, and I believe it was just a page that had the content. And where is the example? Disputed links and material. So it's more than just a particular page.
Was there a legal case involved? So there was a judge said this is defamation of character, it must be removed, or is it just somebody made a request and Google said, okay, we'll do it?
No, this is legal. This came in the form of a legal settlement in a UK defamation action. I'm quoting here. Characterized as an exceptional case, Google agreed to remove malicious links that damaged the reputation of a UK businessman, Daniel Heglin. The settlement terms weren't disclosed, but likely involved specific actions on Google's part to remove the defamatory material. Google may have been motivated to settle to avoid creating case law that would have imposed further burdens or responsibilities on the company for questionable or illegal content in its index. Maybe they didn't set case law, but boy, they sure set precedent.
Right. You have to think about this. How does this impact sites like WalmartSucks.com or all these people who create these sites to complain about or draw attention to issues related to brands and businesses and people in some cases? It is interesting, but I think the legal process really needs to drive this more than just Google, because if somebody just puts up an opinion page, that's an opinion page. And of course, the laws are going to be different here in the U.S. than they're going to be in the rest of the world when it comes to that. And Google is a U.S. company. So you're right. It's going to be interesting to watch to see if this goes anywhere else.
Yeah, well, you can bet there's a lot of people out there who would love to take Google to task on some content about them. I mean, in this case, I believe this is not just an example, although they frame it oddly here, but the plaintiff had been labeled, quote unquote, a murderer, pedophile, and Ku Klux Klan sympathizer. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty hardcore.
So can you use this precedent to go after ripoffreport.com?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be wicked. Yes. That one of my least favorite sites in the whole world. Because of all the... I've had to deal with people who claim to have been...
Oh, I have too. There's articles there's articles out there about the founder of that site. I know we're going off track here, but the founder of that site basically lives off the grid completely. And somebody at one point there was like a $50,000 bounty if you could find his address and him to serve him court papers. It's crazy. He's like hiding from the world, making all this money from ripoffreport.com.
Well, yeah, and there was even, I believe, some content that had been released proving that in some cases, I understand they've cleaned up their act now, but I don't know for sure, but that some people were being taken to task, that they could have content, defamatory content, removed for a price.
Oh, there's papers been out there, and if I was in a position to talk about it, I'm sure I could tell you stories where that might have some personal knowledge of that. So,
yeah, I do from the perspective of clients who've asked me to help them, but I didn't know what. You need a full time reputation management company and a lot of money to get ahead of these people because they're so well indexed.
Yeah. And if I had personal experience, I could probably tell you that there's different levels of removal based on how much you're willing to pay them. At some levels, they'll just retract, they'll leave the comments up there and let you put a post up that you know, says, oh, no, this is not true, this is why. There's other ones where if you give them a little more money, they'll remove the post. It's a scam. It really is. It's always been a scam. Drives me nuts.
Kind of reminds me of top SEOs.
Oh, see, now you're opening another can of worms. I know you said earlier you wanted to get into something contentious, but come on, man.
That's I know, that is pretty bad. I just couldn't help it.
Let's talk about Europe and Google again, because you know this happened in UK. There's also, I think it might have even been the British Parliament. One of the governments over there is basically calling for the dismantling of Google. They want to separate the search engines from all the other businesses. They think that there's too much connection and too much chance for the business to support its other businesses and not be free, you know, a free market or free trade or fair trade. So they're actually calling for legislation to split up Google or search engines, so to speak. They're targeting Google, just like they did with the telephone companies back when they split up the Bell back in the U.S. years and years ago. It's getting to that point where the Europe is just like so disgusted with what the power Google has over commerce over there that they're trying to legislate a fix instead of enabling, you know, an environment where someone could compete with Google. It's really weird.
They're very good at protecting their turf, and I don't envy Google. They got all, it doesn't matter, even if they weren't trying to be evil.
well, you know they were trying to be evil because they announced this and they did it on Thanksgiving Day. They're like, let's wait until they're eating turkey. We'll give them something.
In Europe?
Yeah.
If you've got a passion for pumpkin, you've got to get to Dunkin' and pick these up. Our new pumpkin cream cold brew. Smooth, bold cold brew topped with velvety pumpkin cream cold foam. And our delicious pumpkin spice signature latte. Rich espresso topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. And our perfectly pumpkin donuts, munchkin treats, pumpkin muffins, and more. That's how we pumpkin at Dunkin'. Pick your pumpkin at Dunkin', like our new pumpkin cream cold brew, pumpkin spice signature latte, and our perfectly pumpkin treats. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply.
Do they even celebrate it there?
No, they were talking. They're like, let's give Google something to be thankful about.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Yes. Right. Of course. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. What a mess. Well, I'm sure no one stops work completely there. So there you go.
I'm pretty sure Google has a pretty crack team of lawyers.
Yeah, maybe a building.
Yeah, or two.
Yeah, packed. Well, couldn't happen to a better company. They got lots of work to do, and but still, you know, it's just the bigger you get, the more you have to do to keep yourself safe and you know following the guidelines. So,
it's interesting. The bigger you come, the more money comes into play, the more people look at you as a business as opposed to a service. Facebook's going through the same thing right now. So they just recently changed their algorithms to basically what they've done is they've written an algorithm that looks at posts. And if a post whether it be off a page or a profile, if a post looks like an advertisement to their algorithm, they basically don't show it. It gets very, very limited exposure. So they're basically trying to keep people from advertising in their walls. Well, of course, immediately everybody starts screaming and yelling because basically this is a play to boost Facebook's advertising, because now the only way to advertise on Facebook is actually to pay them to advertise on Facebook. You can't just say, hey, come to my house, I've got a garage sale anymore. Now you have to actually go and buy an, I mean, you might be able to for that, but that's the idea. They don't want you just posting about an advertisement. They want you to buy advertisements. So people are all up in arms about that. But both Google and Facebook are businesses. They've got to make money, and they've got to find ways to improve their bottom line. You know, they're both public companies now, so that's
for God's sakes. I totally agree, but you know, it's funny because you look at their bottom line. They're not even remotely hurting. Not even, like, they're making so much money, it's insane. And now, well, let's make more. But
here's the problem with going public.
Yeah,
you can't stay even keel. You have to continue to grow, or you lose investors. They want to grow their investment. So that's the problem. Even if you're making billions of dollars in profit like these companies, if you're not growing, you're losing investors, and then your net worth shrinks. It's a weird, stupid circle, but that's the way the banks work. And it's annoying, but that's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the lessons of life are, yeah, no doubt on this one. It's just, it's kind of insane. Like, Facebook has a good system in many ways, and now, frankly, they're getting some serious backlash from business owners because, you know, this is okay. You know, they're going after stuff that's plainly advertising-based, but they're also cutting back. They've cut back dramatically how much anything shows up for a business unless they're paying for it.
Oh, yeah. I think the last number I read is
2%?
I was thinking 5%, but I wouldn't be surprised at 2% of your audience. If you have 1,000 people that like your business page, 2 or 5% of those people will see your posts, which is ridiculously low. Unless you're paying for it, then it jumps up to 30 to 40%. But still, it's just crazy.
And then you get into the issues of, well, how many people are truly liking this content? Legitimately.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of content about that. As a result, I know many businesses who are so fed up they won't advertise on Facebook anymore.
Okay, well, there was an article going around recently that this guy did an experiment. He did just paid ads to see where the likes were coming from his paid ads. And he had this really compelling story about how all these people that were liking his page based solely on what he's paying for were not real users. They were from these other countries. And a lot of people picked up on that article, and a lot of people were pointing at that article saying, hey, Facebook is horrible because there's, you know, of all this, they're selling these ads to people that are not real customers or liking it. It's not a real system. I just want to point out that while that does happen in some cases, if you've read this article and you're one of those people that say, this is ridiculous, I can't believe this happened to this guy, read it again. Because in the very beginning of the article, he says the ads that he placed, he targeted the United States and the three countries that he knew had these bad users, India and Russia and one of the other ones. So he was targeting those countries with his ads. Who targets India with their ads if you have a business in the United States? Who targets Russia with your ads if you have a small business in the United States? That article does not apply to you unless you're targeting those countries. So just keep that in mind if you're all up in arms about this. I want somebody
to... So you mean he did a global, he didn't just target U.S. only?
Not even globally. He targeted U.S. and three countries he knew very specifically had these bogus users and that had a large percentage of these bogus users. If he wouldn't have targeted those three countries and just targeted the U.S., his results would have been completely different.
Funny, I didn't catch that when I read it. I'll have to read it again. Yeah. Very interesting. Oh, good catch. That's good. He's a pretty bright guy, though. It seems odd to me that he's done that.
It was a great article, but just his methodology was flawed. I'd love to see him do the same experiment again, just targeting the U.S.
Hmm. Well, the thing is... I know the other thing was too, that the part of it is you can't track a lot of it because these companies out of India and all these different places where they are paid, and this is proven, they are paid to do likes and such. They have to use proxies in the States and such so that they can't be identified. Right. And what do you do then, right?
Yeah, there's not much you can do. But it's crazy. I mean, just think about a country where people are paid 1 or 2 cents a like and doing that to make a living. I mean, forget about social media. Forget about just that 1 or 2 cents a like supports your family. That's just amazing to me.
I know. And the thing is, and the reason why this is so off for anyone who hasn't really been keeping up to this is they don't just go to the people who are paying. They're going and trying to create a natural, I don't know how it's possible considering how much they like, but a natural profile by going to other places that are totally unrelated to what they're being paid to target. And they have to like there as well so that they don't look like they're just targeting paid ads.
Yeah. And one of the ways to identify these is all they do is like things. They don't post stuff. They don't have friends. They don't connect to friends. All they have is a bunch of likes on their profile. They're going to get wise to that too at some point, and they're going to start doing other things. And it's going to get harder and harder to identify these people over time.
The best part is usually they have like an absolutely beautiful person as their picture.
Oh, yeah. It's like go to one of those model sites. Crop out a head, make it your profile picture.
Well, and the funny thing is you know how they say how do they put it? Something like you probably know this person, or this person seems to know you, or I don't know. But it's kind of a way to connect you with people that might be in your same group. And I got a ton of those for a while. I'm like, how the heck am I supposed to know these people? And they had like no likes. They were brand new. I'm like, you have no connection to me.
Sometimes you get on these lists because you know they work through lists. They have these lists. I had a friend of mine, he's a photographer. He teaches photography at college level. He's a great photographer. He complained on Facebook the other day. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, in a span of a week, he got like requests from about 15 different porn stars. And he's like, what did I do to deserve this? It's like, so there's lists out there that people get access to, and they just go down the list and start friend requesting and liking everything they can on the list.
Maybe they want him to be their photographer.
I don't think he'd do that. Pretty sure.
But let's take a quick break, because when we come back, we've got a lot to cover here.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
ShipStation helps online retailers ship orders faster. It's so easy to set up and use. ShipStation gives you tools to automatically import, manage, and ship your orders in the most cost-efficient way. Save money with the best USPS rates possible, as well as a free USPS account. ShipStation integrates with all the most popular e-commerce platforms and shipping carriers. Get shipping done no matter where you sell or how you ship. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
All-inclusive marketing is the luxurious five-star resort of digital marketing.
Welcome to All-Inclusive Marketing.
Engage with All-Inclusive Marketing's award-winning strategists to ramp up your online profitability and brand exposure, driving new customer acquisitions, increased sales, and stronger buyer retention.
Another mojito, please?
All-Inclusive Marketing's full-service digital and performance marketing accommodates every brand, specializing in retail, travel, and software as a service.
What a great room.
The A in All-Inclusive Marketing means award-winning leadership, excellence in results, as well as an A rating by the Better Business Bureau. For reach, engagement, and conversion, it's All-Inclusive Marketing. Reserve a free consultation today at allinclusivemarketing.com/radio.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Well, we have another major piece of news that we don't really have enough time to go really into, probably giving us as much credit as we should to, but the wonderful John Mueller from Google, really enjoyed connecting with him. He's always been a very straightforward, kind guy, He was assisting us with an issue that I had with a client, and it was to do with some content the client had that was largely duplicated across many of his client sites. So this client is a marketer, and he has a whole lot of sites that use product information from, widgets. You know, they all have the exact same product information. And it's mandated. You can't change it too much because that's part of the deal by using these widgets and putting them online to sell. So there's a lot of content that's quite duplicative. And as a result, he was getting the strangest results when he did a site colon search within Google. And what that does is it shows if your site is widgetsrus.com, you do a site colon widgetsrus.com within Google, and Google will tell you all the pages it has indexed of your website. That's read and added to its database. Well, when you do that, you should only see your pages. What he was seeing when he was doing this for his clients was, yes, he would see the content or the title would look the same, but then the description wouldn't be, and the URL wouldn't. Or how did it work? It got so confusing because it was so involved. Oh, my God. And it was bizarre, too. Nothing about it made sense. Here, I got an example here. So this particular one had the right URL, but none of the other information, the title, say I had it backwards, the title information and the description was for another company, but the URL was to another one of his clients. And then if you looked at the cache, it also showed the wrong company. Very, very odd. And I knew I had to reach out to Google on this one. I tapped John on the shoulder. I tapped a number of people on the shoulder. And everyone's like, what the hell?
Well, the results, because you sent me the message he sent you. And the thing that stood out to me more than anything in that, which is more overarching, I think, than just your specific problem that he was addressing, was he said, site colon queries are kind of artificial. So we don't really optimize for that. He put that in parentheses when he was talking about site query results. And that to me is like, it's kind of like we know that link colon searches in Google don't always show all the links. They only show a small percentage of the links that Google know about. This, and I've seen personally site query colons change for the same site over time or based on small little changes in the query, but dramatic changes in the results. That shouldn't have been that dramatic. So this is kind of, to me, is really site query colons are kind of artificial. It's kind of like being kind of pregnant. You know, it's either artificial or it's not.
Or kind of broken.
Yeah. So just something that I took away from this whole thing was a little less reliance on the accuracy of the data in a site colon query. Just because it says you have 1,476 results for this phrase doesn't necessarily mean that's true. There could be more, there could be less. It's kind of artificial.
I guess I should read the whole thing here. I mean, it doesn't include any of my clients' confidential information. It includes some interesting info. And this is a quote from John here. So this is, I had passed this on to the team to review, and as far as I know, they made some changes. So it should at least be better. In general, though, when our systems recognize identical or equivalent pages, they sometimes do what you saw here. They'll pick one URL to index, but understand that its content applies to other URLs as well. A very common case where this happens is with PDFs, where the file is really identical. But it can also happen when things are pretty close or assumed equivalent, e.g. when sites are actually the same but have slightly different branding. In cases like that, you'll see that site queries give weird results, and this is where John's quote came in here. They're kind of artificial. And then he says, but in practice, the search traffic overall doesn't really go down because the user just sees one or the other copy of the content in search. So in a way, we wouldn't always see this as a bug, but sometimes its behavior can be improved. End of quote.
And this to me is, if you think about it, is just a really extreme example of duplicate content. Not just the content, but his example of when sites are actually the same with slightly different branding. And we see that a lot. People use the same template to produce a multitude of sites that are slightly different targeting. That's where this stuff comes in line. So it's a duplicate content issue to the extreme, I believe.
Yeah, and I've never had to do this before, but I literally told the client, you know, it doesn't seem like there's anything we can do about this because you can't take the content out, you can't change it, and it's within site colon search, which isn't something that any prospect is going to look at. We're going to have to live with this at this point. And it wasn't, I mean, understandably didn't make my client happy. What can he do?
Yeah, but the client could go to his manufacturer, whoever he got the product from that's requiring that he use a certain description, and say, look, here is, you know, he can take the quote that you gave him from John Mueller and say, look, Google is telling us by not being able to create unique content, it's hurting us in search, right? So please let me create my own content, my own description for these products, and hopefully maybe he can get the manufacturer to change their ways, at least for him. It would actually really benefit him if he, you know, they only let him change it. But
yeah, it's very interesting, and I know that the issue isn't over yet. We've come up with a few other issues that don't seem to really match what John has mentioned, so we might have to get back in touch with him. But I think I said in my email to John, I said, you know, this is the third time perhaps in the last 17 years I personally reached out to Google with an issue. I don't do it often, and I can't. You're welcome. But I'm very glad that he was there to help when I did.
Yeah.
So thank you, John.
I've only had to do it once so far.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's good. They respond and they are helpful if you don't abuse it.
Yeah. Well, Matt Cutts helped me one time with an existing issue, and it was immense. I mean, it made the difference between, you know, 0 to 100%. It was a huge improvement. Thanks to his help, and it wasn't. It was definitely an issue with. In this case, it was Yahoo stores, and the fact that they wouldn't allow you to do HT access for a 301 redirect. Mm-hmm. So, wasn't long after that Google implemented cross domain canonicals. I have no idea how much that I played a role in, but it was very happy to see.
Nice.
And almost instantly before they announced that, of course, this was fixed for the client. So it was a good all around thing.
So what's your guess? Do you think he's coming back,
Matt? You know, I wouldn't be surprised because he seems to love his job. But then again, he's seen the light. He's enjoying some time off. He might go, I need to do more of this.
So the question to me comes down to, I don't think it comes down to money, because he's not going to go anywhere else where he's going to make more money, because he's already filthy rich because he's one of the was he the first in the first 20 Google employees? 20?
I thought it was first 50, but maybe 20.
Maybe it's 50. I wasn't sure. But so he's got plenty of Google stock. He's wealthy. It's not going to be money. It's just going to depend on whether he enjoys the work he does at Google more than he enjoys the free time he's experiencing right now.
I mean, let's face it. If we had that kind of money, at least I know I would. I wouldn't be working there. I would take the money especially after getting a spell off like this, and I'd invest it in some fun things that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah, probably the only thing I would do related to SEO is be this radio show, just so I can complain and talk to you.
Excellent. And I can keep you abreast of things as usual.
That's right.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. We got lots in, and I know this last segment was quite long, so hope you found it informative. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thank you for joining us today. Hope you have a great week. And if you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of us at our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.